Did you know that there's no pure UV light in nature? If we start there, the research done by physician and photobiologist Dr. Alexander Wunsch gets very interesting very quickly. He's tapping into the great potential light and color have to regulate and normalize body functions. As stated by Dr. Wunsch, you only perceive what you know. So let's learn something. He's got quite a bit to share about both solar radiation and artificial light. Make peace with the sun and stay tuned. This is Robin with Tributaries. Alexander, tell us how you came to realize that biophysics would serve your medical career better than pharmacology and biochemistry.
Oh, we're right in the middle of the difficult questions and answers, I see. I think that I'm a balanced person, and I also think that I'm not okay with too simplistic solutions. And this is what medicine tried to offer these days when I was doing my studies at the university, that there are very simplistic solutions on the biochemical level that no one really asked for reasons, and no one could ever explain why all the biochemical reactions are in such order as we find them in living cells or within living organisms. And so in order to bring balance back, at least to my world and to my medical understanding, it was just inevitable to add the biophysical aspects to the biochemical findings in order to be able to explain what's going on in our systems, in our organisms.
Yes, I love how you are very experiential with your work, and I've heard you say that in order to be an expert, you have to have experience, and it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, it is inspired probably by Dinsha Gadyali, who is known, at least in the American area, as a quack. He was accused to be one, but in fact, he was talking about so-called direct proof, which in his understanding was the highest quality of experience you could ever get. This experience that you collect with your own senses. And this, in fact, was very inspiring to me because a lot of biochemical interventions in modern medicine are not made for being experienced by the therapist himself. So you get a recommendation for a certain, by evidence-based medicine, for a certain disorder. You have to use a certain biochemical compound, but you're not supposed to try it on your own. Let's say chemotherapy or things like that, you would never want to try on your own, but biophysics, at least the subtle biophysical interventions, are ideally made for personal experience without doing any harm. And so this is a way to become an expert, and I think it's not useful to operate your own organism as a black box, which means you have to go to someone able to diagnose and repair your black box. It's much, much better if you are able to diagnose yourself and to understand what's going wrong with you, because it's your body, and the body should normally be linked to your awareness, to your consciousness, to your feelings, to your position in the world and in your environment. And so becoming an expert of yourself or for yourself is a kind of precondition for finding the individual solution for your individual issue.
Yes, absolutely. And what you're talking about certainly speaks to all of the findings that science just wants to call anecdotal when it's living proof, in my mind.
It's the problem with statistics. And if you put all the different appearances into one box and you average it, you might find out nothing, in a way that all the positives and negatives are compensating themselves. And it's not feasible, in my understanding, without pre-selecting the groups, trying to apply the statistical methods to just a randomly chosen group. And problems patients, in fact, have and problems patients come for are always individual and never statistically describable.
As we're going to move into some of your knowledge regarding light and color therapy, etc., I was taken by the word in German for color. And German, of course, is your first language. So I want to thank you for knowing English as well so we can have this interview. But the German word for color implies so much more than just something visual because it means character. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The German word is Farbe. And this comes from old version of German language from medieval times, Farava. And this Farava is the stem of the word Farbe. And this means character. The color of an object gives a lot of information about the character of this object. This is the meaning in German language. And the English language, color, comes from celare, which is a Latin word, and it more means to hide something. So kind of opposite underlying meaning of these two terms in the different languages. Yeah, and I, of course, prefer the character pole of this meaning balance.
Yes, and I think there's a lot being hidden when we're going to start talking about light and therapeutics. So I'm glad we're going to be able to bring it out in the light, so to speak. I've heard, and you very poetically state, that the light from the sun starts a concert in the body, which I took to being kind of like a ripple effect. And I'm wondering if you could start with what basic things happen to positively affect the immune system.
Maybe I start with a concept or a description of a concept, which probably and hopefully makes clearer how it works. In fact, sunlight is not a good light per se, but sunlight is a kind of constant, at least when we look at the circadian rhythms or at the timing of sunlight, when we look at the spectral distribution of the different wavelengths. These can be regarded as constants. And due to the fact that these constants had been there for 4.6 billion years, when we believe what Darwin told us about evolution, then the consequence is that all the organisms living today are optimally adapted to sunlight as it is. And it's a cocktail composed of many different compounds. Some of them are positive, some of them are deleterious, but life learned throughout the millions of years to take the best out of it and to adapt optimally even to the deleterious aspects. And so we are talking about deeply rooted system of specific reactions. This is what in your picture the ripples are induced by solar light composition. For example, vitamin D was not meant as a positive biomolecule fighting cancer or so. In the first go, it was meant to bring the information of UVB radiation present in the environment into the darkest depths of the body. And anti-cancer and anti-circulatory disorder effects just came later. They are part of the adaptation process. And from that position, it's also, in my understanding, kind of problematic to try to reduce the effects of sunlight, let's say, to vitamin D, to just UVB, to thermal effects or so. Because it's really the whole thing in its coherence and total composition, which brings us on a cellular level, on the organismic level, a well-known mixture of different stimuli. And our body is invited to pick out whatever suits him best at the particular moment.
Yes, it's always interesting to me how supplements, for instance, are very faddish. So right now, it's very much the thing to take vitamin D supplementation. And I appreciate so much how holistic your approach is to everything. I've certainly heard you speak about today, and I know in your life's work, are people overdosing on vitamin D? You can't just separate vitamin D. It's like you just can't separate one frequency of light or sound and expect it to be an answer. There are so many things when you're talking about vitamin D. Obesity might take away some of your ability to either process, or it might use up a lot of vitamin D. I'm not quite sure on that, but it just brings the whole conversation into a very myopic viewpoint, doesn't it?
Yeah, we tend, if we take the scientific approach, we are forced to focus on events, on single parameters, because otherwise we would just lose orientation in the ocean of possibilities. So in order to analyze the processes, we have no other option or choice but in focusing on one single or two parameters at a time. But this should be seen as the analytic part. And in order to bring the parts together for the synthetic part, for the constructive process, we have to bring back the holistic viewpoint, and we have to try to understand how these parameters interact with each other. And so picking out the vitamin D, then this is the solution for each and everything for the next few years, but history tells us that it always exhibits the same pattern. If we think we have the magic potion found in one single aspect, in the end we find out that might be even deleterious, for example in case of overdosing or so, and we fall back in our appreciation with regards to this particular parameter, instead of understanding that for each and every parameter, the dose makes the poison, and the interaction of all the different parameters are important. For example, for the microbes in our guts, it's not just the Escherichia coli bacterium, it's not some pathogenic bacterium. It's the cocktail of all of them, the good and the bad. And if you have goods along with bad ones, then the goods will take care of the optimal concentration of the bad ones. And this automatic correction factor disappears as soon as we start focusing on single aspects.
Hopefully things are turning around. I think they are into that direction more and more. When talking about full spectrum lighting from the sun, let's go with the natural lighting, what effects of the immune system have you seen? We think of light, but it's also a heat as well, and its effects come in through the eye, but the skin is our largest organ. Maybe you can take it from there.
First thing is when you talk about heat, the heat we experience from sunlight mostly comes from the absorption of shorter wavelengths. For example, if you ever experience an artificial tanning bed, then you might know that the skin becomes hot, but not due to the infrared radiation, but due to the absorption of the ultraviolet radiation. Now, focusing to the question with regards to the immune system, you can find the idea that sunlight affects our immune reactions in a negative way. For example, people would claim they experience the outbreak of herpes. So again, it depends on the dose. And what sunlight induces is a kind of modulation of immune functions. Our organism has learned throughout the millions of years that if there is a high level of solar irradiation, it's not necessary to fight against the bugs in the same way as it would be necessary in cold and dark winter months, because the ultraviolet part of the solar spectrum plays a certain role in the control of bugs and germs in a way of reducing the environmental bacterial load and also the bacterial load on the skin. So there are different tasks under different solar irradiation scenarios. In summer, if the skin is exposed to sunlight, it's less important to fight on the bacterial track. It's more important to control the inflammatory reactions, which, for example, are caused by the ultraviolet radiation. So there is a modulation of the immune functions in terms of shifting both arms of immune reaction in terms of controlling inflammatory processes which are induced by physical impact versus inflammatory reactions induced by bacterial or viral or fungal impacts. And so it's not so easy to answer the question because, again, it's a coordinated reaction depending on what makes sense in terms of evolution. And here we have to discriminate or to divide between how it was meant by nature and how it went when we were out, probably without clothing, and what happens nowadays if our skin is not trained to sun. We are covered by clothes, and then we step out into the sunlight without adaptation, which might turn the immune reactions into an undesirable direction.
Would you say that knowledge that you have about the ultraviolet rays and inflammation and the bacteria versus viral, is that information that most doctors are aware of regarding the light and the frequency of the light waves?
Unfortunately, I don't think so. I think that the idea of medical professionals is that immune functions are suppressed by ultraviolet radiation, not shifted, but suppressed. This is common sense in the medical world, in my awareness and understanding. But still, there are papers out which are accessible, and if you know how to read them, you will find this interpretation, probably not as clearly as I try to communicate it. If you take a step back and ask yourself, which is not scientifically accepted, what is the purpose of a certain reaction? This is the teleologic question, which you never should ask if you want to be accepted as a scientist. So what is the sense or the meaning behind the reaction you are witnessing in your examination? If you ask this teleologic question, then you automatically will be able to sort things out and to understand things better, so that a reduction in one branch of the immune reactions or a suppression almost always goes along with the strengthening of another arm of the immune function. So it's a shift, it's a modulation. And modulations are, we know it from biomodulation, which is describing effects of long wavelengths of the spectrum. Hyperfunction will be modulated in a way that you get a reduction or kind of suppressing effect, and hypofunction will react in terms of being stimulated. So even here you don't know exactly, or you know after treatment or after application, if you had hyper or hypofunction before the treatment.
Yes, and the way the sun is blamed for skin cancer, I think, is another one of those places where not enough things are taken into consideration. For instance, maybe skin cancer isn't necessarily a result of being out in the sun, but it's a result of spending all your day behind a window and getting light through a window, or having terrible light bulbs where you spend your days. And I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit about that. Is that what is known as biological darkness, by the way?
biological darkness. Yeah, I'm not sure if there is an official definition existing, but I would define it personally as we know that not only the eyes but also the skin are light reception organs. And if you only serve one of these two entrances, then this is already kind of biological darkness. So wearing clothes means kind of biological darkness for the skin throughout the day. And shielding and modifying and reducing the full spectrum, which we can get from natural light sources like sunlight or also fire, leads at least into the direction of biological darkness. Light surrogates, which mimic or try to mimic just one particular aspect of light, but suppressing other aspects or not containing other aspects, this realm is the realm of biological darkness. And always when we start shielding or filtering the full spectrum, for example, from sunlight, using sunscreens as one example, using windows as another example, then we do more harm than good. Defining UV radiation as a cancerogenic by the World Health Organization is a kind of weird thing.
Yeah.
But it would be comparable to if I would declare oxygen as a cancerogenic, which it is, in fact, because oxygen is always the precursor molecule for reactive oxygen species, and we know that reactive oxygen species or free radicals are the reason for some cancerous development in cells. But it makes no sense to make such a classification because we cannot stop breathing. And so it has just nothing to say to us if we learn that oxygen is the precursor of reactive oxygen species or free radicals and it contributes to cancer events. The same applies to ultraviolet radiation. Maybe the World Health Organization is right because UV, its concentrated form, in fact, is able to produce cancer. But what I'm missing in this game is to hear someone saying that pure UV does not exist in nature. So we get just part of the whole thing with this bit of information. As you said, the windows, for example, they do some filtering in a way that they remove the UVB, which is responsible for skin burn, for sunburn. And so we sit behind the window and we do not get the natural sign for an overdosage due to the lack of UVB. But we have up to 80% of UVA in the radiation coming through the window. Most people think they are protected from sunlight behind the window because they don't experience sunburn in this situation. But sitting 1.5 hours behind the window glass means from the UVA dose the same compared to sitting for 1 hour outside in direct sunlight. And if someone is in this situation behind the window for 6 hours a day or 8 hours a day at the working space, this is a massive contribution to your UVA dose, your cumulative dose of UVA radiation. And this might contribute massively to negative aspect in long term.
Yes. Before we move into color therapy, maybe you could just share what kind of light bulbs you have in your home or your lab or your place of work and why.
I'm using incandescent halogen light bulbs because the incandescent lamps with their glowing filament produce the light in a very natural way, comparable to what happens in the sun, comparable to what happens in fire. And our organisms are closely adapted to this spectral distribution of light, which is emitted by glowing bodies from different temperatures. So this is an artificial light source, but the spectrum is a natural spectrum, or the spectral distribution follows natural laws. And so this is what I use in my personal environment, incandescent lamps. I could also add, I tried to eliminate light modulation, which comes from the main frequency, 60 hertz in the North America, 50 hertz in Europe. I'm using direct current transformers, leads to a completely clean, non-flickering, modulation-free light. So halogen lamps operated by DC transformers. This is what I use.
In listening to one of your talks, the automobile industry is really messing with us. Is that correct, with the different types of flicker effects they have in the lights in cars? Is that true? Or
They are just one of the different players. Automotive industry, but the lighting industry, I'm not sure if they are really playing with us. Sometimes they are just not aware of the problems.
That's what I meant. I didn't mean anything they were doing on purpose, but I just meant that the flicker effect in car lights seems to be getting worse.
Yeah, the backlights of cars in the meantime are using LEDs, and the LEDs are dimmed by pulse width modulation. So they are massively flickering in frequencies. Some of us can see or can detect, and others don't care, or they are not focused in a way that they become aware of it. This is, I think, always a problem if there is an impact or if there is an influence from outside and people do not become aware of it. So those who realize that lights are flickering have the chance to avoid the flickering lights. But those who do not detect, for whatever reason, the light flicker, they are helplessly exposed in the worst case, and they have no chance to bring potential symptoms together with the potential reasons for their symptoms. And light flicker is one massive problem of modern LED lighting. But in the meantime, I can state that there is a change going on. I was concerned about flicker since at least 15 years, and no one seemed to listen. But in the meantime, there is, in fact, a change, and there are several companies who became aware of the flicker issue and trying to eliminate this in the light source. But still, you cannot rely on that, because when you go out and buy an LED lamp, maybe it flickers, maybe not. And they don't have to declare it on the package, on the product description, and this is a problem.
Join us next week as we conclude our interview with Dr. Alexander Wunsch. And if possible, go ahead and get naked at noon. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, or sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. Podcasting is on iTunes at Tributaries Radio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.